Hello and welcome to another installment of Sports 360. I am John Holly, sports editor of the Valley Forge, along with my partner and good friend,
Ryan Wilcox. I'm here, boy.
Yep. Sorry we missed last week. Ryan decided to come down with the flu. So
yeah, it was definitely my decision to come down with the flu, by the way.
It was a choice.
A good choice, by the way.
It was a business decision.
It's mutual, though. Yeah. Mutual. Let's be clear about that.
Anyway, we got a lot of news, primarily NBA deals, trades, all the good stuff.
NBA, we got to talk about the Super Bowl.
Obviously.
And then...
Oh, yeah, the Olympics.
The Olympics.
But yeah,
Big deal.
Yeah.
Although, I just wanted to say before we go on with the prescription for the show, Tamiflu is a new sponsor of ours.
Yeah.
The CDC... It's only because I did a report on this for the Valley Forge, has 39 states in the red zone, which is a highly widespread outbreak of the flu disease. Not disease, but flu. The flu.
Right.
And so if you do have the feeling of the flu, please go to the doctor and get Tamiflu, because that, I feel like, is the only thing that made me feel better.
Yeah.
So
visit your local CVS or Walgreens.
They just can't give it to you.
Right.
We've got OSF, we've got Physicians of Media Care, we've got Swedes. And Rockford Memorial. So do your part. See, coughing now.
Yeah.
But feeling way better. So
right.
The flu's out there. Be safe. Okay.
So
a lot went down exactly 7 days ago right now.
Yeah.
A lot went down. So, John, fill us in the world of the NBA.
Well,
what happened?
Around 1:15.
Because I hear a certain team out of a certain city in the Midwest got new team.
One we talk about a lot, but it was Thursday.
It's not the Browns.
It was Thursday, 1:15, right when I got out of my class. I pull out my phone, and I get a little ESPN alert saying, breaking, Dwayne Wade to the Heat. I was like, no.
Whoa.
I was like, I knew the trade deadline was coming, but like not this soon.
Yeah, seriously.
And I don't know. That just kind of hit me.
And Dwayne Wade gets to rock.
He gets to rock the Miami Vice jerseys.
Oh, dude, that's like the greatest honor anyone could have.
I'm pretty sure that's the only reason he went there. But that's reason enough for me.
I would, definitely.
So the Cavaliers, the new look Cavs, as they call themselves,
because they
literally have a whole new starting lineup.
That is very true.
Aside from LBJ.
My favorite was the ESPN graphic of last year's, what was it at the time, yesterday's team and today's team.
Yeah.
And there's only like five people from yesterday still on the team.
Yeah. To put it lightly, they had cleared house. But I think one of the biggest ones, aside from Dwayne Wade, was trading Isaiah Thomas to the Lakers.
Which surprised me.
Really?
To the Lakers.
Oh, to the Lakers.
To the Lakers. Okay. I didn't think the Lakers were going to be buyers like they were.
Everyone knew that he was getting traded. And this is...
Because it was clear, because he said, what? When the team goes through adversity, we all go our separate ways.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. Yeah. Okay, that's one way of running a ship.
Yeah, not something you usually say in a locker room presser, but...
After what? Losing back-to-back games by 30?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So... I mean, everyone knew he was going to be traded, but yeah, I agreed, not to the Lakers. But.
Right. So, Isaiah Thomas to the Lakers.
But after you see what they traded for, it kind of makes sense. So, in return, they get Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. out of
which
LA.
Nance Jr. has been tearing it up.
Right. I mean, those two guys are... Yeah, I mean, they're... I saw a fun fact. Jordan Clarkson had played with Kobe when he was in LA.
Okay.
And now he's playing with LeBron in Cleveland. And I think he wore both of their numbers.
Wow.
I think he wore 8 now.
Okay.
Or he wore both of them. I'm not sure, but it was cool.
He's wearing a jersey, everybody.
So the Lakers got Isaiah Thomas, Channing Frye, and the 2018 first-round pick. Who do you think won in that trade? Who won, who lost?
I'm a fan of Isaiah Thomas. So I'm going to say the Cavs lost because they couldn't work out his personality with... the king, I guess.
I'm going to have to respectfully disagree. I think...
Lately,
I just... When I don't know. It's like when you're with a different team, you're a different player. And
sure.
There's a different environment, different way of playing, different atmosphere. A lot of factors going on. But I really liked Boston Isaiah Thomas over Cleveland Isaiah Thomas, because and literally a day it's before true. He got traded, he's like, I don't want to get traded. I like being in one place. I like contributing to a team, and those are admirable, you know, aspects. But he just didn't do much. I mean, I'm not trying to rack on him because of his size, but he can't shoot over people.
Okay,
he's got good handles. I'll give him that. But mm-hmm. you know, I never really saw him as an asset. And then we'll get to this later, but the whole feud between him and Rajon Rondo.
Ooh, that yeah. is. Serious.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So
I can't wait to get to that. That was crazy. He was dealt a bad hand because he didn't want, like, you don't want to leave the place you're contributing to.
Right.
And so he was forced to leave Boston to go to the Cavs, which isn't, I mean, it's not the place not everybody's dying to get there. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so
he had a good thing going in Boston.
He did. He had a really good thing going, and then to not only show up to Cleveland, but the grandpa look Cleveland, which you yeah. featured, you know,
yeah.
Wade, James, Rose, just
Smith.
Yeah, yeah. They're all this. That's not
the oldest team in the NBA one point.
Too many opinions are being held in that room.
Yeah.
You know that, and so I'm glad he's getting a new break in LA because
right.
They sure could use him. That's yeah, for sure.
For sure. There's all these, I'm sure you've seen him, all these memes on Twitter about, there's a picture of Isaiah Thomas on the phone with Danny Ainge, and he's like,
yeah.
I've successfully ruined the Cavs. Those are funny.
Valid.
Yeah.
I get it.
And then the Cavaliers acquired Rodney Hood and George Hill, and they traded Jay Crowder and Derrick Rose. I was kind of surprised they traded Jay Crowder. I mean, he
seemed like he was producing pretty well
right.
for them.
And then they traded
their full value worth out of him, I guess.
Yeah, and I heard the Jazz.
But where did they trade him to again? The Jazz.
The
right?
Jazz. Yeah.
The Jazz. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the Jazz waived Derrick Rose, so.
Oh.
Yeah. I think he's a free agent now, or.
I guess he's gonna be seen as a son's high school graduation.
Wouldn't be surprised if he retired.
No one wants him.
No.
He's not even the Magic.
As a Bulls
and the Magic are taking everybody. Ugh.
As a Bulls fan, I feel for him because he was so good in 2009, 2010.
He was.
But
he was.
I don't know.
So good.
It's just a steady decline now. And they traded Joe Johnson, Iman Shumpert, and the 2020 second round pick to the Sacramento Kings, which is, I don't know.
I was surprised they traded Iman Shumpert, traded him away. I thought he was a. not a. No, don't get me wrong here. I didn't think he was a staple of the team. But
he was a bench player.
Yeah, but I thought he was like one of their reliable sixth men off the bench.
Yeah,
so when
I
they traded him
that.
Away, I was
yeah.
like, oh, well, there goes, there they go.
Yeah, not much of an asset.
yeah.
And to the Heat, they traded Dwayne Wade. I think everyone knew that this was kind of
this
like
was
that,
happening.
That reunion didn't really seem to last, didn't have a lot of life left
no.
in it. And they traded to the Heat, Dwayne Wade, and they got a lightly protected future second round pick, which I don't know if that would be a fair trade, but that's just me.
Just ship him out.
Right.
Just ship him out. yeah.
That's where he belongs anyway.
That's right.
Yeah. And then other trades, Alfred Payton was traded to the Suns and they got a 2018 second round pick. That's kind of a bold move. I mean, trading rookies around because you haven't really felt them out.
Because an Alfred Payton, turned around and then started immediately producing for the Suns
right.
in their game against the Nuggets.
Yeah,
I was watching that because that game was on TV, and mm-hmm. I was watching. I was like, "Who's this dude? I don't recognize this."
This guy with the hair.
Oh yeah, with yeah. like with the funny hair, and yeah. I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is the guy from Cleveland," and they just traded him, and
yeah.
he's playing this game.
I think he found himself. Doing better with guys like Devin Booker and Josh Jackson, kind of guys that are
yeah.
kind of new, but also have produced. So,
yeah, and again, it's all about not being weighed down by that room because that was,
yeah.
I don't think that was a very fun room to be in.
Right.
That locker room looked terrible. So, I get it, and I'm glad he's able to get out of there and at least produce for a team that needs somebody to produce like the Suns.
Yeah. The Knicks traded away or they acquired Emmanuel.
Kristaps Porzingis' ACL.
Yeah,
for
man, another all-star injury. I mean, it's the LeBron team curse.
It is the LeBron team to curse. That's
yeah.
for sure.
Other notable names I've got traded: Emmanuel Mudiay, Devin Harris, to the Clippers. Oh, that was Nuggets. They got
the Nuggets. Yeah. They traded. Okay, this was the interesting one for me because I've been following the Nuggets since they were starting to make the playoffs with Carmelo Anthony in like 2005-06. And Emmanuel Mudiay was like a highly, highly, highly valued Chinese prospect. He finished high school, and then instead of doing college, he went over to China for their developmental program in NBA, their program out there, which I believe that's, I'm not trying to be weird, racist here, but I believe that's where they found Yao Ming, was out of that Chinese developmental program.
Yeah.
But he had some promising signs, and so the Nuggets picked them in the, I think with the 7th pick in 2012. And they kind of held on to him and regarded him as like, this is going to be the future. Like, this is our future superstar right here. And it was clear in the first season that he had a lot of work to catch up and do. Not like some of these all-stars that come straight out of Duke or Kentucky, but
yeah.
he needed a lot of work. Turnovers is his main thing. And I think that over this whole time, this past 4 years, I think the thing that hurt him the most is that his ball control is horrendous. So he went from starting to going on the bench to being a third team reserve and just kind of mixing it back up as injuries came and went. And he,
gotcha.
It's just a sad story that he should have been more than what he was. But,
right.
Hopefully he'll find a new start in Dallas.
Yeah.
While the Nuggets got received a more experienced playoff point guard to help run the second squad.
Yeah, when I read Devin Harris, I thought it was like Gary Harris. I was like,
No. Oh, I would have been ticked.
Oh yeah, he's great.
Gary is good.
Other notable trades: Doug McDermott.
Yeah,
got traded as well to the Mavericks. Am I reading that? Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And they got the Nuggets second round pick. A lot of the other ones aren't too notable.
Small trades, besides
the
Blake Griffin one, sending him from the Clippers to Detroit, which they've not lost a game,
yeah,
right, since?
Detroit?
Yeah.
No, I think they've lost a couple.
They lost a couple, okay. Yeah. There was like a graphic that was like, Detroit's 5-0 since Blake Griffin's showing up.
Yeah. A team that is hot, we'll get later on, is the Jazz right now.
Ooh, yeah. The Jazz.
But my Bulls did trade Nikola Mirotic to the Pelicans. But
yeah, I was surprised about that.
Yeah. I mean,
with something to change up. Something to change it up.
I honestly don't know what to think about the Bulls right now. I mean, I am conflicted feelings between, you know, Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen doing great. And then
yeah,
they were kind of like one of the worst teams in the East, so.
It's true.
It's a rebuilding year.
At least they didn't trade your 3-point king, your rookie of the year.
Yeah.
What's his name? Markkanen?
Yeah, Mark.
Lauri Markkanen. Yeah.
I think he's Swedish. He's got that bright blonde hair. But yeah, those are most of the notable trades. We're going to move on to standings. Oh, man. So many makes up in the standings.
That's true.
Start the East.
Let's go to the East. Yeah.
Yeah. To crown the Eastern Conference, Toronto. 41-16.
Whoa!
They have been hot lately.
This is Toronto's first takeover, right?
Yeah.
Because it's been all Boston all year. And dang.
Yeah. DeMar DeRozan. I mean,
Fred VanVleet, I think, posted another season-high game.
Yeah.
During this two-week span.
DeMar is, like, very underrated, I think, because he's just, I think he put up 40 points within the last couple games or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
That's right.
Kyle Lowry's been shooting out of his mind. I mean, really can't go wrong with this team, I think.
No, they are definitely loaded front and back, that's for sure.
For sure, yeah. Second is Boston, 40-19. Not super outstanding recently. They didn't win on the night of Paul Pierce's retirement, which was a little...
It's kind of funny.
Disappointing, but...
Yeah. After that whole issue between him and Isaiah Thomas...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's correct.
Cleveland, the new-look Cavs, are third with 34-22. I saw this ESPN commentator was talking about, like, you know, he wasn't bashing the new-look Cavs, but everyone was, like, hyping them up because they've been doing better.
Yeah.
But he's like, there's no way they're going to take over the East. And he's, you know, I don't know. I mean, it takes a while for that chemistry to bond and to, to form a solid team. And to play against teams like Boston and Toronto that are already solid.
Yeah.
You know.
I just think they... No.
I could see them making the ECF.
Take this with a grain of salt, but I think the Cavs have a lot more weak minds to play with now.
Yeah,
that's true. For LeBron. I did crack up at the quote, you know, because they're all new people, but Tyronn Lue was like, if you think I'm going to hand my clipboard over to LeBron, that's wrong, because I'm the coach of this team.
Yeah.
It's referencing Steve Kerr letting one of the players fake drop
Andre.
A play. Yeah. That cracked me up.
That was funny. Still sitting at fourth is Washington, 33-24. Not doing as well as they, you know, can be.
Right. Wall's not injured, right? He's okay.
I thought he was out for 2 months.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. That's right. The Wallace Wizards. Yeah. That's right.
But they're still doing well with Kelly Oubre and...
they're holding their own.
Yeah. And what's the other guy's name? Not
Gordon Hayward, because he's with Boston.
I can't think of his name.
I wish we had a roster, just a revolving roster, so we can just look.
Right. Milwaukee, very close, 32-24. Giannis is doing very well.
They've seemed to shore up.
Right.
Whatever was going on.
Yeah.
Fire Jason Kidd, and now look at
especially
this.
Without him, yeah. But
this team's new.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Indiana is right behind them, 33-25. Philly is 30-25, and Miami has been in kind of a slump, 30-28, rounding out the Eastern Conference. Detroit is right behind them, 28-29. Do you think Detroit can turn things around?
I think so. Yeah, Blake Griffin's a pretty good player, and Stan Van Gundy definitely knows what he's doing with the big man up front. So
for sure.
Just ask him how it went with Dwight Howard. Playoff time, baby. Welcome Detroit back to the ranks.
I think the Motor City can bump out Miami, but... You know, you never know.
Yeah, I don't know if Miami... I mean, it's nice getting Dwayne Wade back, but I don't know if that's going to be enough.
I did see a statistic that said Philadelphia is now undefeated since the Super Bowl. So when they won...
Oh,
you know,
interesting. Yeah, okay.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Fun.
Is
that who won?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, good to know. Just kidding.
Moving over to the West, Houston has taken over. There's some new faces at number one.
Houston number
one, Eastern and Western, 44-13. They've just been red hot.
Yeah, Houston is they're the hottest team in the league right now.
Yeah, right behind them, Golden State 44-14, losing a couple of upsetting games. One of them being to Denver.
They lost to Denver. Yeah.
What are you doing, man?
Dude, we're here to put a wrecking ball in the West. That's for sure. Reclaiming our tie.
And either one or two games after that, that was when they let. Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green play.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because they're playing the Suns, but... I saw a quote, and he's like, yeah, it was disrespectful, but we deserved it because they're just not playing well. But,
then don't play bad.
Yeah. Number three, San Antonio, 35-24.
Also lost to the Nuggets on TV last night.
It's like some of these...
Or two nights ago,
Some of these great teams are just losing dumb games.
The Nuggets are 4-0 on national television. At home.
Yeah.
So.
And Jokic had a triple-double recently.
He did. Yep. Gosh. Yeah, man. Let's keep going.
number four, Minnesota, 35-25. OKC, 33-26. Losing a big game to Cleveland recently.
That's true, yeah.
With the new look Cavs. Rip City, number six, 32-26. Dame had a great game yesterday.
Right.
Against... the Golden State Warriors, which they lost. Damian Lillard put up like 44 or something like that. Something just incredible.
Right.
And then number seven, Denver is 31-26. And New Orleans is 31-26. And right behind them is LA, which is 30-26. And right behind them is Utah, which is 30-28.
And they're hot too.
Yeah.
Utah's hot.
I think like 11 games. They've won so far?
Yeah.
In a row, which is crazy.
What happened? How did the Utah Jazz just kind of flip a switch?
I'll tell you what happened. Mitchell, dude.
Rookie
of the year. I mean, I've seen Ben Simmons, and he just put up a triple-double recently.
Yeah.
And he's one triple-double behind Magic Johnson within his rookie year, because he put up seven. And
Simmons
is at six.
Okay.
So I mean, it's impressive, but I mean, Donovan Mitchell, dude, he's just every he can shoot from beyond the arc. He can he's warming up for the dunk contest in game.
Okay,
you know, he's kind of incredible.
Nice,
but I'll give you some numbers, and this is
okay.
This is we're talking about Isaiah Thomas, and you tell me which one you'd rather have.
Okay,
so on one side we have 28. These are averages: 28.9 points per game, 5.9 assists per game, 2.7 rebounds per game, field goal percentage 46, 3-point percentage 37.
Okay.
And free throws 90%.
Oh.
Tell me which one. Do you think that's Boston or Cleveland?
Free throw percentage 90, 28 games, 4 points. That's Boston,
that's
right?
That's Boston.
That's Boston. Okay, okay.
And on the other side, you have Cleveland, Isaiah Thomas, which is 15, 4, 1.
I mean, wow.
It's
Oh, I'm not surprised, but
it's
yeah.
It's despairingly different, yeah. I mean, efficiency is really the troubling thing.
Right.
But, you know.
Well, you got to get in your groove, and you got to know the teammates around you. And I just don't think Isaiah Thomas was ever really given a chance in Cleveland.
I think he was excited to play with Cleveland. And, you know, I mean, anyone's going to be excited to play with LeBron, but.
But once you. Sometimes it happens whether you
get
to
get real with yourself.
When
you
get a new job or if you move places, you can be excited for something. Right. Or if you're excited to try out a new restaurant even, and then all of a sudden you're starting to realize that what either it's the waitress or the job or whether it's the operations director, like things can start to get sucky really fast. Yeah. And I think that's exactly what happened.
And people are going to chalk it up to his injury. I mean, I'm not going to dispute it's going to take you out of the game. It's going to let you not perform as well. You're not going to be as good. You got to bust off the rust, but
why play hard when you have nine other guys who are vying to want to be the number one dude when LeBron's even struggling, you know?
Yeah.
It's not his team, it's LeBron's team.
Right.
I mean, he can't even
he's the general manager we're talking about, right? You know.
He orchestrated all this
right
on Thursday.
He's like, "Okay, we're not doing good. You're gone.
Nice knowing you. See you later."
Yeah. But I don't know.
I agree.
That makes sense. Just reconnecting to the Wi-Fi here.
No worries. On TV, though, the past 2 weeks, the Nuggets have been on, and it has been a lot of fun to re-record and watch. I watched them beat the Spurs, the Warriors, and OKC within a span of 2 weeks. After... I know you heard me out loud and clear. I was very upset. They lost three games in a row by a point.
Oh, yeah.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
But it seems now they're back to the league-leading points scoring. They score the most points in the league now, back to form than they were towards down the stretch last season. They were having a tough time towards the beginning and trying to figure out rhythm and... Not that Jokic regressed a little bit, but he wasn't the same person he was towards the end of the season last season. And so, but now it seems to be that the Nuggets have found again their just offensive machine, but now it's trying to figure out how to balance that with actually playing defense, because the Nuggets can, you know, get those quick breaks all day long, but they also give up quick breaks right back around.
Yeah, you could take a page out of Harden's book and play defense. Wait, what?
Oh,
ouch.
Ooh, good one.
It's true.
I almost said hot take, but that's actually a cold take. We all know that.
Yeah.
You can't play defense.
This is true. Let's see. Some notable performances recently.
Okay.
Anthony Davis, man.
Why is
he not in the MVP race right now?
I don't know. The Pelicans are in the playoffs because of him.
Just recently, he put up 42 points, 15 boards. He's had 11 career 40-15 games.
Wow.
And that's the second most behind Shaq. The Diesel.
Dang.
The Diesel himself. Russell Westbrook recently just put up his 96th career triple-double.
Okay.
Taking a page out of...
my book.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Ryan
Wilcox. Yeah. But yeah, just to give you, like you were saying before, some perspective on the new Cleveland roster, only five people remain from last year.
Five.
LeBron James, yep. Kyle Korver, K-Love, who was injured, which I was kind of skeptical. It's like you blame everything on him.
That's right.
Tristan Thompson, which I was very skeptical too that they didn't trade him as well, and J.R. Smith, but
five.
It's like a whole new team.
That is a whole new roster.
But not to fret, because when they played the Timberwolves, they scored. Them and the Timberwolves scored 43 pointers in one game. That's the most ever combined in one game.
Yeah. Dang.
So they were shooting some crazy stuff. Let's see. I think that's most of the trade stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. But we'll
we pretty much nailed that on the head there.
Right. We'll get on. Oh wait, actually.
Oh.
We gotta move on to So, earlier, when Isaiah Thomas was playing with Boston, and most people know Rajon Rondo for playing with Boston, he made a comment about Isaiah Thomas saying, "Oh, you got to the playoffs? I don't remember them putting up banners for that."
Oh, that's right!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I cracked up when I saw that.
So, when... this is the first time they're meeting now that, you know, Isaiah Thomas is in the West now playing with the Pelicans. And they both got into a little scuffle, and they were both ejected.
Yeah.
And I'll show you this video here, but, you know, it just looks like, I mean, Rajon Rondo is a very emphatic person, but he really looks like he was just kind of antagonizing Isaiah Thomas, and, you know, he's putting his hands up, getting up his chest. But
I think that's my favorite part, is that he had his hands up the whole time. Right, but like, it's clearly he's like a rubber band towards Isaiah Thomas.
I'm not the victim here. Yeah.
Trying to run him over.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought, you know, people are going to say they overreacted, but I think it was a good call to eject both of them because it was not going to get any better if they were both going to be able to stay in the game.
And when I first heard that comment from Rondo, I was like, okay, that's a little harsh, but I thought about it. I was like, you know, they don't put that up for a reason. I kind of agree with
him. It's
true,
yeah. The man has a point.
Right. You're not wrong.
That's right.
Yeah.
Gosh.
But yeah, let's move on to my favorite segment, NBA hot takes.
Hot takes. Hot takes.
Let's go here.
Ooh,
the NBA has become more skilled yet more soft than it was back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Ooh.
So it's more skilled now, but it's more soft because there's more fouls being called.
Yes. But more skills. There's a lot more.
The game changes. There's new players.
The game has changed.
But
I don't recall. The game changing way from such a in the paint kind of game towards a three-pointer game.
Yeah, that's
in
true.
Zone.
Right.
That's a lot of what it is now. You don't see.
Not to say players don't play in the paint now.
I know. But you just don't see a game being won in the paint anymore. You know what I mean? Because like it's all about those last waning shots. Take the three. 3-point shots, 3-point shots. That's all we talk about are 3-point shots.
You know, most notably made famous by the Splash Brothers. I mean,
it's true.
The upcoming Golden
State. They've literally changed the face of the game.
But I feel like, and I'm sure you've seen this clip before, it was the then Seattle Supersonics playing.
Yeah.
Golden State in Seattle, and Sean Kemp comes with the tomahawk jam on him.
Oh, okay,
I mean, you know, those calls are hard to make because it could be a charge or he was just flopping.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, you know, and those were like awesome. That's what made the NBA great.
Yeah,
you know, I wasn't even alive, and I saw that clip on YouTube. I was like, I would have killed to see that game live.
Heck yeah.
But I feel like if that was played today, you know, it would have been called. He would have gotten an ejection. He would have been teed up, you know.
Yeah. I do agree with it. I do believe it's become more specialized but more soft because now you have these free throw specialists and now you have 3-point specialists and you have, you know, you only have people that are, you know, only in the paint like Nene. You never seen like someone like Nene take a, you know, 3-point shot. You only defend. You're the big guy. I feel like back in the 90s, 80s, 70s, you know, you just get the ball down the court and put it in the basket.
I mean, most of the records were made, I think, within, you know, this decade or last decade.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of great 90s three-pointers for sure, but like guys like Ray Allen, Jason Terry, Stephen Curry have, like, literally been within the last 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
It's, I don't want to say it's
And really, it didn't take long for those records to come down.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's how quick it's Stephen Curry's not even in year 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's already...
No, that's a good point.
And he's going to be around for at least, I would say, another, what, 7, 10
when
years?
When you have guys like Anderson out of Houston or Draymond Green, like, sinking, like... free throw or three pointer after
you have JJ Redick, who all he is supposed to do is he is the 3-point specialist,
like guard the shooter, you know.
Yeah,
there's specific people. I mean, it's smart, it's within the rules of the game, but yeah,
you don't see someone like Kenneth Faried ever taking a 3-point shot. He's down on the paint trying to jam on somebody.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the next one. Kemba Walker out of Charlotte is underrated and should have been an all-star this year. I think he has recently been picked. Isn't he? Has he been picked to the All-Star team?
I don't
because
so.
Of all the injuries. I don't know. It's too many to keep up with.
I like Kemba Walker. I think he's underrated for sure, but I don't know if he should be in the All-Star game.
I think it's a slippery slope because, say, you're on a bad team, like a really bad team in the East, but you could be like a great player.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not really going to shine through so much, and then people aren't going to pay attention to you as much, but. You know.
If Charlotte was doing better, I think they would deserve it. But Charlotte's not doing good at all. And Kemba Walker is a good player.
And I think
he's not. I don't know if he's deserving of that because he's not bringing the team with them.
I really think
personal anecdotes.
Right. I think the only reason he's there is because they're paying him so much money to be there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, hey, we'll pay you millions of dollars to stay with this bad franchise, you know?
Oh, okay, sure.
You know, like a great example was when before the trade, you know, Jonathan Simmons, I'm sure I didn't know him before I read this, but he outscored the whole Cleveland offense in one half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
Dang. Yeah. Look or old look?
Old look, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I could have done that.
Yeah. And this is pre-trade as well.
Okay.
The Heat can compete with the Cavs. I think before the trade, now not so
before
much.
Before anybody could hang with them, but now I don't think so.
Yeah, and everyone's all upset about Dragic making the All-Star team over Ben Simmons.
Oh, okay.
He's like, you know, I've been putting up triple-doubles, you know, it's whatever. The Raptors will be the first seed in the East and make it to the ECF. Well, they are the first seed, but will they make it to the ECF?
Yes. I think so. I think of any team, I think it's going to be the Raptors.
Toronto and either Boston or Cleveland, for sure. I mean, no one else is in.
You're not counting in the Magic?
I mean.
Yeah, it's.
Aaron Gordon will just dunk on everyone.
That's right. I think it's Toronto for sure.
I'm still salty about that, the dunk contest.
You should.
Yeah, I should.
You should.
Notably.
It's fair.
Let's see.
And the All-Star game's coming up, right?
Yeah, it's this Sunday.
Sweet.
Speaking of Toronto, if you had your choice of a point guard,
okay,
would you rather have DeMar DeRozan or Kyrie Irving? It's like going back to the famous Russell or Steph debate. I'd say one has better handles over the other.
Yeah, but the other one is a little bit more consistent than the other.
That's true.
Long-term consistent.
Kyrie's such a good player.
Kyrie is so good. I don't want to take anything from DeMar, though, because he's so solid.
And he's really underrated, too.
He is really underrated.
That's what makes people scratch their heads.
This is what makes it a hot take, is that DeMar is... Yeah, I don't know.
You have a gun to your head. Who do you pick?
Kyrie.
Kyrie.
There we go. There we go.
That was quick. That was fast.
Yeah, I had a gun to my head, man. Yeah. I had to choose. Kyrie.
Yeah. I mean... He's played in the league longer, I think.
Yes.
He's got a ring on his finger. And
yeah.
I don't know. I think DeMar has more to prove. I mean, he's a great player. I'd take him. I mean, he's an all-star for a reason, but, you know, that's how it goes. And the last one, last but not least, this is kind of tired, but the Jordan Bulls could beat any team currently in the NBA.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. And I'm going to say yes for probably...
Even with the 2016 Warriors?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it's hard to compare those eras because, you know, the game's different and, you know, the
it is hard, but I think the whole Warriors bench would have been out with injuries by how physical the Bulls of the 90s were.
Yeah, it really depends on kind of what rules you're playing with, but
I'm sure they'd be able to get off more shots and have more scoring opportunities, but no way they last a game or a series.
Yeah, it's like you take the athleticism in the paint or the accuracy of shooting. I mean, one is going to earn you more points, potentially.
Potentially, yeah.
That's a hard one, but yeah, I think I agree with that. And capping off the NBA, we're just going to go through a stretch of the notable losses the Cavs sustained before the trade.
Okay.
January 8th, they lost 28 to Minnesota.
That was funny.
3 days after that, they lost by 34 to Toronto. They blew a 22-point lead to the Pacers. They gave up 148 points to OKC.
Yeah.
They lost by 12 to the Spurs, which had no Leonard, Gasol, or Ginobili, which is, you know, their main lineup.
Right.
They lost to the Pistons by 11 on an 8-game losing streak. They lost 32 to the Rockets, and then they blew a 28-point lead to the Magic. I mean, it was some dark days in Cleveland there. But
yeah. With the old-look Cavs.
Right.
That locker room was a mess, that's for sure.
And you can't have, I mean, part of the reason why I didn't like Isaiah Thomas is because he didn't have any good answers when people asked him questions.
Yeah.
You know, true. LeBron is one of the best guys at interviewing. He's, you know, he recently was just talking about Trae Young. He's like, oh, is he going pro? Oh, definitely. You know, that's a good, you know.
Please, no. Oklahoma needs at least a good person for another year.
They were, Texas Tech, his hometown, was calling him overrated.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because they lost him to Oklahoma,
their
Big 12 rival. Yeah. It's kind of an embarrassment.
Right. But yeah, that about does it for the NBA.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll let you pick. You want to go to the NFL or NBA? Not NBA, but NHL.
So, do you have a quarter on you? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Let's go to NHL for fun. Well,
quarters definitely seem to be an issue in the Olympics, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there. What'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
No? Okay. No. Wait, but what segment?
NHL.
NHL, yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, if you're a Chicago fan, you haven't really missed much of the NHL because the Blackhawks, all they seem to do is choke and not be able to finish games well. So, but we have here in the Atlantic Division for the Eastern Conference, we have the Lightning who are on top 38-16 with 79 points. The Bruins are probably the hottest team in the league right now, making a furious comeback with a 35-12 record with 78 points. There was a point where when Brad Marchand got his suspension, people were starting to think that the Bruins were going to start losing it. But ever since then, man, they've won like, I think it is like 7 or 8 games in a row. Hmm. The Bruins are hot right now. Notables in this conference, though, the Senators still can't seem to put anything together and are still losing, which they involve trading their best defenseman, Dion Phaneuf, to the Kings for a forward. I think it was Martin Gabbert. Here's
the Kings.
Like that. The Kings, yeah. And the Sabres are still terrible. Then you have in the Metropolitan Division, the Capitals are leading that with 71 points. They're 32-17. The Pens are right behind them, 32-22. A different look this season, but that the Flyers are able to keep up, and they are 28-19. And then, really, the Blue Jackets have fallen down to pretty much just being equal. They're 29-24, but nothing like last season where they were like 50-20. But they were really good.
Yeah, I remember
them
being hot last year.
And the Islanders are not doing well at all. There's talks about John Tavares being traded, which has been their keystone, their go-to, their captain for like 10 years. The better version of Matt Duchene, as I always like to think, because they were both in the same draft class. And the Rangers are definitely looking to go through because they've been good for so long, or solid. Yeah. But they're starting to look like they're headed towards a destruction and a rebuild. The Rangers are 27-25.
Sometimes it's necessary, you know.
Just not
I mean, they just did it with the Cavs. So.
Yeah, I know, right? Right. So then in the Western Conference, in the division from hell, the Central, you have...
Golden Knights?
No, that's Pacific.
Oh.
You've got the Predators, who are 34-12 with 77 points. The Jets, who are 33-15 with 75 points. The Blues have 72. The Stars have 70 points. The Wild have 68. The Avs have 66. And the Blackhawks are now under 500, 24-25. The Avs, though, are still winning games and hanging in there. But for as much as they've done, you've got five teams ahead of them that are just playing better. It's insane that the Wild started having a big stumbling block, but they seem to have shored up their game, and they're not.
Yeah.
They've been playing at home a lot recently. So, 68 points. Well, the Wild have the eighth seed, and so the Avs are just one win away from being right back in the mix.
That'll happen if you're in a strong conference.
That's true. Yeah, and so, but anything that happens to each other, they just are. It's just self-inflicting pain.
So that conference,
yeah,
is analogous to the NFC East. I take it.
Yeah, they're all good.
Yeah,
they're all good.
There's not a bad team.
There's not a bad team.
I mean, aside from current Washington,
from the the Blackhawks. But we'll see if they'll be able to pull it together. Then you have the Pacific Division with the Cinderella story of the year, the Golden Knights, 37-15 with 78 points. They just broke the record for the most wins in a season from a
startup team.
Yeah, from an expansion team.
Expansion team.
Yeah, expansion team. The Sharks have really started to seem to find their own groove here, and they're 30-19. The Flames are in it. Man, the Flames, they have a goaltender, which I always felt bad for him when he was in Arizona. Right now, it's starting to blank for me because I can't think of it. Marty Smith. He's been just such a good goaltender for so long, and even when Wayne Gretzky, the King, was coaching the team in Arizona, they just could not seem to have any real sustainability. But gets traded to the Flames. One, the Flames needed someone better than who are they? He had a funny last name. I can't remember, though. But he's just been lights out for the Flames. So it's been good for them. Respectively, even though I don't like anybody in the Western besides the Avalanche and the Blackhawks. They've done well for themselves. And then the Kings are 30-21. The Ducks are trailing behind. The Oilers are probably the biggest disappointment this season with NHL pretty boy Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
23 wins, 28 losses, and there's been some speculation from ownership that this isn't what they were expecting, obviously, and if the Oilers have to go through another rebuild, that Canada might just sink into the Atlantic Ocean. That's how bad it might be.
Yeah.
People are pretty upset about that. And then the Coyotes and Canucks aren't that good.
The ground will just, like, level beneath them.
Yeah, it'll just start to just... You'll wake up and then realize that...
You're standing in water.
That's right, that's right. But yeah, besides that, nothing else too new. I think the only point of discussion would be is that the Department of Player Safety and the NHL haven't been doing a really good job of penalizing and enforcing players on some pretty dirty hits that have taken place. But outside of that,
that does it for the NHL.
That pretty much does it, man.
Which leads us into the NFL. We'll get to the Super Bowl, don't worry. But some recent news. Jimmy Garoppolo, pretty boy 49ers quarterback.
Who I understand Tom Brady was pretty jealous of.
Oh, yeah.
If Tom Brady's jealous of you, you know you're a pretty boy. Yeah,
I blocked off Tom Brady. I mean, as much as I like him and respect him, you got to catch a pass, man. I mean, we'll get to it.
That's true. Oh, gosh.
But Jimmy G secured the bag, man. 5 years, $137.5 million, the largest contract in NFL history. That makes him more...
Which everybody should have seen coming with how the Brock Osweiler thing went through. How much money was guaranteed to him
I'm sure he used that track in his record deal. Like, okay, you got this guy. You weren't in this much money.
That's
and
right.
I'm undefeated as a starter. In a terrible team.
That's right.
But he's only got 7 career starts, and he's earning more than the likes of Stafford, Carr, Luck, and Breeze.
See, and when we had talked about this last season, I was like, okay, well, Stafford at least has a track record. I get it. Okay, paid the man his money, but yeah. Without Megatron, I'm not sure what's going to go down.
Won't make it far in the
playoffs. But Garoppolo on a team who's rebuilding, what?
I think it's a smart move. I mean, they're going to lock him down. They know he's a vital part of it. I mean,
sure, okay, but that's a...
It is a lot of money. Know.
It's starting to look like funny money with the NBA.
Yeah.
It's just... I just sit here and I just go, sure, now.
The most surprising guy on the list is Breeze. I mean, he's been with the Saints since the Chargers, and that was like, what, early 2000s? I mean, he brought New Orleans a Super Bowl.
He was with the Chargers for 3 or 4 years, I believe. And in 2006, in the last game... Sorry, 2005. So in December of 2005... They were playing the Broncos, and he broke his arm in the last game. Hmm. The Chargers were kind of nervous about his recovery, and so they were like, no, we're not. I believe they didn't take his contract up again. So then Sean Payton, newly named coach of the Saints, came and visited him like 3 or 4 times and was like, hey, when you're better, Nolan's wants you.
Yeah.
And it's been... It's been a good story ever since, man.
The rest is history. And he's a free agent, actually, this next year.
He's going to be the highest paid quarterback ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
I think he's just, I mean, how old is he? Upper 30s?
Never.
Yeah.
Never old.
Yeah.
Man. He's probably, what, 34, 35?
I think he'll play next year. And, I mean, maybe, because you got those great, I mean, I think both of the rookies on offense and defense both won. They swept the rookie awards.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Alvin Kamara. And
it looks like they're going to be good for a while.
Oh, yeah. They should make it to the Super Bowl at least next year.
They should be perennials again after that weird fluke last season.
Yeah.
Or 2 seasons ago.
But, yeah. Speaking of the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So I'm watching the game. And
I'm starting to get the flu.
Yeah. Nick Foles is playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
I mean...
In the buffalo dip I was eating was out of this world.
Ugh. It was a very... You know, I'm not salty about this game because I was... believe it or not, I was pulling for the Patriots. I'm like, Tom Brady's going to retire soon, and so is Bill Belichick. He should end it out with a bang.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to win his 6th ring. It'll be, you know, a walk in the park. And Nick Foles is surprisingly, you know, outplaying him, you know, catching... passes in the end zone. he's really smart.
You brought that up.
He's got a good head on his shoulders, but you know, I mean, he was.
What was it, that play was called the Philly Special. Watching some stuff after, he's like, "You want to play? Do the Philly Special?"
Yeah,
and the coach was like,
"Yeah,
sure."
Don Henderson was like, "Sure, let's do it." He had nothing to lose, you know.
Nick Foles called that play.
Right, that
legend.
Was, you know, just the balls in that guy. You know,
yeah,
weighed him down, but it was a respectful loss, you know. Philly deserved it for sure.
Hey, and just for all clarity and purposes too, I was rooting for New England as well.
Yeah.
I wasn't I started eating food and people were looking at me going like, "Who are you going to pick?" And I was like, "I'm an American. I'm a Patriot."
Right.
Darn right. Tom Brady gets his 6th ring. Bill Belichick gets his 6th ring after everything he's been through. But no, today wasn't that day.
I think, and not to get too political here, but I think...
Whoa.
Yeah. I think the reason why myself and a lot of other people, not, you know, excluding New England fans,
right,
is why they get so like, oh, you know, Tom Brady's the GOAT, is because they get fed so much stuff through the media. I was seeing all these statistics. Like, they're wearing the white jerseys. This is his 6th Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah.
He's got 3 times the starts as, you know, Nick Foles, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, like, all these things were getting ingrained in my mind. I was like, okay, there's no way, you know. But and I think...
New England now ties with the Denver Broncos with most Super Bowls lost.
Oh, really?
5.
But they've been to the most, so...
But they've been to...
That doesn't matter, though. You can win more and...
What was it? Them and the Steelers have been to the most, I believe.
Yeah, but the Steelers still have the most, I think.
Yeah, right.
With
right.
6, but... It was a great game. Alshon Jeffrey, Nick Foles, Fletcher Cox, Zach Ertz.
How about, of all people, Alshon Jeffrey finds a team to win a Super Bowl with?
Because
we knew it wasn't going to be with the Bears.
Oh, my goodness.
Trust the Tressman.
Yeah.
Wow. But I was thinking throughout the game, I just was like, I was waiting for Nick Foles to make a mistake.
Yeah.
I really was. I was like, this backup quarterback is going to, like, I was thinking about Case Keenum where he just kept screwing up everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just waiting for when that's, oh, okay, that halftime show, I was like, one, amazing. Two, right. JT is God. Three, yeah. I'm not sure how Prince would feel about this. And four, they had like 30 minutes to come up with a new game plan. So I was like, dude, New England is going to rock this second half.
And classic New England defense was not there to perform. They were not
classic.
Covering. You can't even cover Nick Foles.
He's
not even
true.
A receiver. He's a quarterback and he's catching passes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I was pretty disappointed in Patricia.
Yeah, well, he's in Detroit now, so who cares?
So, yeah, okay. I just was surprised. With all that time, I thought at least something would have changed.
And this reminded me of when they played the Jaguars. They're like, you know, Jags were leading 14-3 at the half.
Yeah.
TB12 has 12 stitches in his throwing hand.
Yeah.
And then they come back in the fourth quarter. It was like the classic TB12 miracle.
Yep.
And they just didn't do it in the fourth quarter. And like that little seed of doubt was planted. I was like,
this might be it.
It's over.
This might be it.
What are you doing, Tom? And the one funny thing though that came out of this was someone mentioned something crazy in the Twitter mentions, they post a picture of Tom Brady. He's like, "What was that? I didn't quite catch that."
Oh,
it was pretty funny. But
my favorite one I think I saw was yesterday for Valentine's Day. Someone had posted the picture of Tom Brady, you know, not catching the ball,
yeah.
and it says, "For you, I'd drop everything."
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, shots fired.
Yeah. But
it just wasn't Tom Brady's. Even though he did start playing significantly better.
Yeah.
The receivers started dropping the ball more. The defense couldn't hold their ground. And it was the Eagles game to lose.
Yeah.
There we go. It wasn't the Patriots to win. It was the Eagles to lose. And their defense locked down.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as like dramatic as when they played the Falcons last year because that was just an awesome upset. But
true.
But
what I did like to see was some more fire, and I did not see that.
Yeah,
it just kind of sputtered.
At
out
least
at
when
the
you
end.
Play in New York, like you were very close. I mean, one of the games it was decided by a field goal, and it was kind of fun because like Eli Manning was kind of like a young buck against, you know, Tom Brady, and you got Nick Foles who's in his first Super Bowl ever.
Yeah.
Has like almost zero playoff starts and
yeah.
You know. It was one for the ages for sure.
Yeah, and good for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean
you know it was a good game when you're rooting for one team and the other one's like, okay, I can kind of accept that, you know.
That's right.
Like I'm not bitter and salty.
No. I just think some of their celebrations were a little excessive, but
yeah.
Hey, they got their Super Bowl.
And if I'm a player playing for Philadelphia, like, hey,
2 million people showed up.
Right, I'm going to win one for my city. And you know, we lost back in 2004.
Yep.
2004.
Yep.
You know, like, I don't want to repeat that again. So.
Right.
But yeah, it was a good game.
It did crack me up, though. I guess Philadelphia, the Eagles are religion in Philly because 2 million people showed up to their parade and they shut everything down. And when the Phillies, I think, won like a
World Series.
Yeah, they'd done something. It was something with the Phillies, but only 1 million had showed up.
Oh.
And I was like, well, only 1 million. That's still a lot of people.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, if you got Kobe Bryant rooting for you, I mean, he's from Philadelphia. So.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, Joel Embiid was there.
Yeah.
Trust the process.
Yeah. Good on them.
Yeah.
Good on them. That was at least the commercials were
commercials
great.
Were great. Oh
the current Tide really just owned that Super.
Yeah.
Every time I was like, is this going to be a Tide? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
My favorite one must have been the Mr. Clean fake one because he's like got the all white thing and they're mopping the floor and then all of a sudden he turns around. I was like, no, it's a Tide commercial. Cracks me up.
Nope, Tide commercial.
That was good. Yeah. Not as many beer commercials. I was pretty surprised with that.
I think one of my favorites was the Amazon Alexa lost her voice, and they had all these celebrities.
Yes, that one was pretty good.
That was a good one.
But yeah. That, and then Justin Timberlake really
put on a great show.
Outside of that little, I don't really care. I didn't really pay attention to Prince. I mean, maybe that's showing my age here, but I just didn't really, Prince wasn't my thing. The what the city did, that outside view of like the Prince logo on like the literal city of Minneapolis, yeah. That was sick.
That was pretty cool.
But I didn't care for the Prince tribute that much because...
I did like the selfie kid, though.
Yeah. Oh, and the memes that came out after that. Who is Justin Timberlake? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Who is this guy?
I just was like, if Justin Timberlake was dancing up next to me, I would just drop everything I did and just start dancing, too.
Right. Jump into his
arms. But this kid, like, had a panic attack or something and then was on his phone. And I was like, dude, you're what's the problem?
Yeah.
I know that was really loud, but I was like, get off your freaking phone. The selfie was cool, I'll admit.
Yeah.
If I could get a selfie, I would, but I just would have been dancing too. So,
but I wouldn't have my phone out.
That's true. Right. But man, that he did a really good job with everything else.
This is the classic Super Bowl.
And it's probably one of my favorite Super Bowl halftime shows.
Yeah.
But I still think my favorite one was I know it's the Broncos, but still. What was it? Not Ariana Grande. Oh, I'm going to be so mad at myself.
Was that last year?
No, but somebody jumped off like the top of the building, though. You remember that? And descended down into the...
Oh, Lady Gaga.
Yes, Lady Gaga. That one was sick. Yeah, I love that one cool. A lot. That was pretty cool.
A lot of memes out of that one, too.
I know.
Oh, man.
But yeah. But overall, a really great Super Bowl.
Yeah, great Super Bowl.
Just wish at the end it was a little bit more lively, but...
Yeah. I mean, compared to Super Bowl.
Comparative to the other ones, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, not much going on in the way of MLB.
Pitchers and catchers report.
Came out. And Yu Darvish signed with the Cubs.
Yeah,
so
6 years.
If we choke later on the season, we shouldn't be surprised.
That's right. I cracked up. I was like, get Yu Darvish out of the NL West. Just get him out of there. Yeah. So thanks for taking him.
Send him to Denver. Why not? Now he let up too many runs.
Yeah,
Coors Field.
Yeah,
right?
It's true.
Gotcha.
What is it? I'm trying to think here. Well, some notable free agents are still on the table. So, like, Greg Holland will not sign any offer from the Rockies for some reason. So he's still a free agent, and I think Carlos Gonzalez is still out there too.
And as far as I know, I think Jake Arrieta is still a free agent.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see who picks him up. Obviously not Chicago.
You get your no-hitter with the Cubs, and I don't know. I think once you get something going, like, hey, yeah. I have a good thing going here. If it ain't broke, it ain't. Don't fix it. That's what I'm saying.
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
Just come back.
That's right.
He's the snake, man.
I'm trying to think. I felt like there was something else in the MLB that really caught my eye, but I can't. Oh, it's going to drive me nuts.
A little, not so much unrelated, but Anthony Rizzo left spring training to go to Florida after the shooting yesterday.
That's just terrible.
Yeah.
I saw that come up in my updates, and I was like, seriously?
I'm not even sure where Parkland is located. Is it like Central Florida?
Southern Florida, from what I believe.
So it'd be cool to see like Miami do some sort of tribute and, you know, kind of pull a Las Vegas and really like pull something out for that city and... You know?
Yeah, that's just too bad.
Right.
It's the dude had an AK. Or not an AK, but an AR. AR-15. Yeah. It's crazy, man.
A lot of questions to answer and, you know.
It's kind of why, in my mind, I always do, like, mental drills with myself. Of, like, whenever I'm on campus, I'm walking around, I'm like, okay, so if something broke out, what would I do now?
Right, you see that active shooter notification on your phone or something?
Yeah, I did. You know? Joe Drought sent a message to everybody. There's a nice video, too, about it. But at least in Seal 1, between the doors, there's like a 4-foot, the right word, I think, is called beveled. The wall is beveled in. So you could hypothetically hide everybody along that wall. So that if the shooter were to look in, it would appear like no one's in class because there's so much room.
Is that on the side facing the ERC?
Yeah, in between, in CL1, but in between each classroom door, there's always like a little gap.
Okay, yep.
That you could stand in and no one could see. So I've always tried to like see maybe that's the way. But
I think that's why classrooms have two doors now.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just like, man, there's just, it's tough, man.
Yeah, and
I feel so bad, and then two, I'm like, now, going back to real life here, and I'm like, well, what would happen?
One of my professors is from Florida, and he said, 10 or 12 miles from there, so it kind of hit
Blumlo?
Home. Who?
Blumlow?
No, Wagner.
What? Oh, dang.
Yeah, he lived in Florida for a while, and you know, really hit home for him. And he was like, he was kind of doing what you're doing, like kind of visualizing it in your mind. And he's like, if an active shooter is in this class, you know, he like was like prepping us through, and it was just kind of cool how he handled that, and he was very calm and suave about it, you know.
Well, he's in the RVC training video.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in the literal active shooter training video. So he should, of all people, have one idea of what to do.
Yeah. He's like, I will tackle you. I'll throw something at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
That's terrible. But yeah, cool for Rizzo to do that for the team.
Yeah. I think that's, I'm not sure if it was his hometown, but it's near to him. I think that might have been where he lived at some time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I can't. There's nothing else. I'm just ready for baseball to start getting ready.
Yeah, dude.
Ramped up, man.
Just going to watch the finals and then watch my Cubs play.
That's right.
Right.
And then the United States have been
Olympics.
Of course, the Olympics.
That one thing going on.
That one thing. Well, thank God that the Olympics were on at the right time I was sick, because I would have had nothing else to watch.
Right.
2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I might have bought some grandma clothes, because that's all that's on TV. Or the slap chop.
Yeah.
But no, the Olympics were on, and I saw a lot of good action. But
the Flying Tomato, I was watching that. Shaun White was competing against like a Japanese snowboarder, and that guy was 19. And when he took off his helmet, his gear, he looked like he was 12 years old. I was like, that's who he's competing against. And this Japanese,
but he's like 5'3".
He's getting 720s in the air. He got up like super high,
back to back 1400s.
Oh my goodness!
I was like, this dude is not messing around.
Oh man!
So Shaun White wins U.S. Olympic halfpipe snowboarding. Right. That was sick.
But we also dominated on the women's side.
Jamie Anderson.
And Chloe Kim. First time?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Chloe Kim did the... Let me pull out the stat. Jamie Anderson did slope style. That's right.
Chloe Kim is what, like 17 years old?
17, and she won the women's halfpipe snowboarding competition.
And the one of the other snowboarders that was going against Shaun White and the Japanese snowboarder was a Australian, and he was like 17 or 18 years old. He was young too.
Man. Dude, and especially that's like that Cinderella feel good story for America. Because Shaun White like had a horrible accident in New Zealand he just literally just bit the curb of the half pipe with whatever.
Right on his neck and head area.
Yeah. And for him to turn around so fast and really be
perform
able to,
right on the spot.
Yeah. That third run, when he's 1 point behind from his first run.
It was such a close margin.
And I was like, oh my gosh, he's like, please don't screw up. And he just
had the run of his life.
Gets the big air, does the back-to-back. I think he did a weird inversion of the 1200 and back-to-back perfectly, and then landed it was like a Mick inverted twist or something.
Mick-twisty.
Just the fun words they have. I love that stuff. And then he just landed it and pumped his fist, but I was like, I don't know if that's enough.
Yeah, the Japanese snowboarder did his run before him, and he was landing so many smooth, like the landing. Yeah. I think you can pull off the tricks, but landing it is like where you get deducted for the most points.
And a lot of people were falling down because one, the snow is hard.
Yeah, it was windy out there too.
Because it's windy too, in some places they like put on the show like it's the Winter Olympics. So like in Russia, it was unreasonably warm during the Sochi Olympics, so everything was melting fast.
Yeah,
but here it's actually winter in Pyeongchang.
It's like our climate.
It's 23, 10. It's cold.
Yeah, and he.
And the snow was like ice there.
He was just landing everything so smoothly. You know, it's just like perfect landings. I was like, that's going to be hard to compete with, man.
Yeah. But the judges thought different.
Yeah.
97.50, and he won gold and represented our country well, that's for sure. His counterpart, Chloe Kim, women's snowboard halfpipe, she rocked it there. And then on the other snowboard competitions is slope style, which Red Girard, 17-year-old kid out of Silverthorne, Colorado, wins it for the men.
Represent.
And he just, again, especially in the slope style, it was crazy to see them compete because people were falling down left and right because the snow is so hard and so fast that they're not used to it.
Yeah.
And so Red Gerard in the finals fell down his first one, then nailed it his second one. I mean, just perfectly, just big air, got the tricks in, has a cool little a board tap on the rails in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then the third one, I mean, he started to look like he had a good run, but then just biffed it. But everybody else, when it was time for their turn to, like, make or break it, everybody else but Canada, like, did some sort of, like, mess, like, and they just would fall over or something because it was just tough.
Yeah, it just looked like, you know, the longer and more intricate the trick, the more you have to focus on that and not so much landing. And, you know, from our perspective, because we're watching from so far up,
right,
it looks like there just isn't a ton of space on the board to land.
Right.
And it's a pretty sturdy thing because it's got to be solid. You know? And when they hit the edge of the board on the snow, and they usually just end up skidding out.
Yeah.
You know.
It was crazy. But Red Gerard nailed it. And then the two Canadians actually did a really good job back to back of doing their tricks, but just wasn't enough. And this 17-year-old kid wins it.
USA.
For USA. And then Jamie Anderson won it on the women's side, too. And the women saw the same amount of trouble. It's just their tricks would not go well because the snow was too fast. And it was for the women, I actually felt bad for the women because it was windy as heck.
Yeah.
The men's, it was windy, but not as bad as, like, just saw the flags, and they were, like, perfectly straight.
They had to postpone a lot of events because it was so windy, yeah.
Yeah, some of the mountain skiing stuff, I was like, no way, man.
Yeah.
Not in that, like, 50-mile-hour wind. But then talk about mountain skiing. Michaela Schifrin, she's just a U.S. legend, man. This is her second Olympics, and she won gold in the great slalom. And that's, like, the intricate tricks in following the path down the mountain.
Yeah.
And so, but you have to go fast, too.
I feel like that really hurts your joints, though.
Yeah.
Because you're bending your knees so much.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not an easy land to snow either. But the wind was high, and she just, it is just so much fun to watch because especially on this track, especially, there's, you know, there's Blue Dragon Valley, and there's a couple of sick jumps that if it's not well-timed, then you're gonna lose it.
Yeah.
But she was able to handle it well, and the other ladies didn't trip up as much as just didn't have fast times. But on the guys' runs, there was four or five blowouts where they just lost control of their skis and just
fall apart.
Yeah, it was terrible. But like the Norwegian people, like, just swept that one.
Yeah. Well, they're leading in the medals for sure. So.
Yeah, yeah. But let's see, anything other to know? The Hamiltons, the American duo, brother and sister, kind of had a disappointing run at curling.
No.
But some of their games are fun to watch as they especially beat Norway towards the end, who are eventually going to.
Yeah.
I think they're in the. I think they definitely medaled, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But they kind of ticked them off because they won 11-3, and that usually doesn't happen at all.
Yeah.
So, and then I think my favorite thing I've seen so far in this Olympics is speed skating.
Speed skating is awesome.
That is. There's a lot of blowouts in that.
Yeah.
But it's so much fun to watch. So much fun to watch.
There's such an incredible angle. I'm like, how do you have that much friction going on between that side of the skate?
Yeah, and these razor-thin skates that just could slice you.
Right.
But that was my favorite to watch. And that was like, Friday night, and I was sick. And I'm just watching. I was like, oh, bro, this is crazy.
This is so crazy.
This is crazy, bro.
But main headline is definitely Shaun White, for sure.
Yeah, Shaun White. For sure. Represent. Some recent stuff, though, that's gone down is that the U.S. men and women's hockey teams have both received big upsets.
Oh, really?
U.S. men's especially, because there's at least supposed to be a stable squad, even though the NHL isn't represented in the Olympics this year, which if you want to know why, head over to thevalleyforge.com, and we're going to have a story up later today about that reason why. One of our new reporters is working on it. And then... But the women's, they were playing Canada last night, and those are the two that are expected to compete for the gold medal match.
Yeah.
And the USA was beating them on shots alone, like 49-18. Like the U.S. just is so good. And Canada just has a good defense too, but they lost 2-1 against Canada.
Yeah.
But the men's, they were playing for the first game against Slovenia, and they score up 2 early. So the men are up 2-0. Third period comes around, and Slovenia gets an early shot to go in, then a power play that goes in. Or no, it's 2-1, and then with the waning seconds left, with the extra skater pulled, they score. But then in overtime, not even 30 seconds elapses, turn the puck over, Slovenia scores, game over. And I was like, wow. Seriously, guys? You remember where you are? This is the Olympics, man. Stop
right.
blowing this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Olympic, the hockey stuff's going down, and it'll probably be done next week.
Okay.
Next week, but yeah. Fun to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The USA and Canada ladies, man, that's my favorite to watch because they're both just – they don't like each other at all.
Yeah.
And that's clear. Even at the end of the game, they were all starting to fight.
Well, yeah, competition breeds greatness, so.
That's right.
Be fun to watch, for sure.
But yeah, that's the Olympics. U.S. have five gold medals.
Mm-hmm.
And before I left for school today, I was watching the biathlon. That was pretty cool. The ladies are, skiing around, and then they have their gun on their back, pull it out. Shoot the target 5 times, and they do it 4 times around.
Oh, wow.
And then whoever's got the best score wins. That's just fun to watch.
I wouldn't
want to mess with them in the backcountry, though, because I'm sure they would...
take your head off.
Betrayal.
You know? I think one of the most interesting ones to watch for me is the cross-country skiing.
Oh, yeah.
That looks just tiring. I was watching it before I got here, and like, I think it was two girls had already finished, and one was trying to get her time for... third place, and she was like just chucking along, and she like could barely get her poles in the ground. Like, she looked so tired.
Oh,
like,
wow,
man, it looks like a Marine death march or something, you know.
Jeez.
yeah
Also, talk about death marches, this whole how do you feel about this unification, heavy quotation marks, of the Koreas in the hockey, and just the goodwill between them both?
I think it's a good step forward. I think it needs to happen.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's just a lot of animosity between, let alone the U.S. and North Korea, but, those two especially. I feel like a lot of it's not downplayed, but a lot of it's fake.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of it just doesn't seem very genuine to me. I feel like a lot of it's just being played because of the location of the Olympics and, you know, they have to put save face, and I don't know.
Interesting.
I hope it's genuine. I hope it works out for real, but pardon me.
I do hope it is genuine because however you want to view them or not, our leader hasn't, the right words would be is not the most conducive person for peace talks.
Yeah.
But however you view that, it's whatever. But it's interesting, that's for sure, that North Korea is getting all this good press, and I've seen some reports that it's like the best makeover since the 1939 or 36 Berlin Olympics, when the Nazi regime had the 5-star reviews of Berlin, and
that's
little would they know what would come of that.
It never hurts to be skeptical, because I always like to question things and find out as much as I can the truth about it. I don't know.
Although
I
think the hardest job there out of anybody, I think, is having to be a North Korean cheerleader.
Yeah.
Because they are nonstop, like just the same motion over and over.
Almost
and
robotic.
Over. Yeah. But
that's part of
it's their job.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if they don't do it right, I'm probably will never see them again.
Yeah,
so
that's part of
props to them. But I think my favorite thing I saw yesterday was the reaction of their faces as a Kim Jong-un impersonator walked by, and all their faces were disgusted, and it just cracked me up.
Wow.
Oh, it was probably more funny than it needed to be, but
yeah.
I was like, well.
Too soon.
Well, that's not actually your fearless leader there.
Yeah.
And they just were like, ugh. So funny. But yeah, I just wanted your thoughts on that. But
yeah,
besides that,
I think that wraps it up.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks for sticking with us, although we didn't have an episode last week. But
we jam-packed it into this one, that's for sure. You didn't miss anything.
No. never skip a beat here on Sports 360.
That's right. That's right.
But thanks for tuning in. We'll be here Thursday next week. You can expect another daily or weekly upload from us.
Oh, if we did do it daily, that would... Yeah. I wouldn't mind that being my job.
That would
be doing this daily.
Yeah, I mean, 40 hours a week, man.
Getting paid to do what you love.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
On that note, while you're getting paid to do what you love, hope you rock it and do it well. And we'll catch you next week. See you later.
See you later, guys.